So I'm the last speaker in this session. Again, I'm Cynthia Stone, and I'm a faculty member at Indiana University Richard M. Fairbanks School of Public Health. I'm the director for our MPH and PhD program in health policy management. And I'm going to present today on looking at a standardized curriculum for HIA courses. I have no disclosures. I would like to acknowledge the others that contributed to this paper and project, Andy Dannenberg, Keisha Pollock, who spoke earlier, Edmund Sato, and Nisha Bachwe. And just as a little background, again, HIA started in the United States in about 1999, preceded by work kind of around the world about 10 or 15 years ahead of us. Some of the first educational workshops came out of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the CDC. The first graduate course in HIA was within UC Berkeley in 2006. As already mentioned, the 2011 report on health impact assessment really helped move the United States efforts forward. It helped define HIAs, helped give sort of a framework for how HIAs could be practiced, and then gave recommendations which included the need for high quality education and more training to be able to move HIA process further. So the purpose of the HIA courses are really to prepare students to be able to conduct HIAs. And the purpose of our project was to try and identify sort of a core group of components that could be used in these academic courses. And we used that information that we gathered to help then direct this model curriculum, which could be adaptable by various schools. Amongst this group, we're teaching the courses in both schools of public health and schools of planning. So the process that we went through, we identified courses through an internet search and really by word of mouth. As Keisha mentioned, you know, the field of HIA at this time was relatively small, and so we just talked amongst different folks who was doing the courses. Andy was really kind of the keeper of that information. I know as soon as people started hearing about us, I think he was the first one who reached out to me and said, let me know how you're doing, send me your syllabus, you know, let's continue to dialogue. There's also SOFIA, which is the Society of Practitioners of Health Impact Assessment, and that is sponsored through the Human Impact Partners that Dawn is part of. And they also started compiling a list of places where HIA courses were being held. And then Human Impact Partners requested, put out a notice and asked for HIA professionals who were teaching courses to contact Keisha so that we could move our project further. So through all of this, we identified 14 different courses that were being offered. We excluded courses from further investigation that were held in less time than a quarter of a semester. So that eliminated two of the courses. And we also eliminated courses that had been designed at this time but had not been taught. The other group that we excluded were courses that didn't have HIAs as their primary focus for their course. So it was taught within a course that also taught about community health assessments or other kind of evaluation methods and process. So that eliminated a few other courses. So from our 14, we ended up with 4. So it's the course that I teach at Indiana University, the course that Keisha teaches at Johns Hopkins, Ed's course at University of California, Berkeley at the time, now he's actually at University of Washington, and then Andy's course at the University of Washington. So each of us contributed our syllabi, and those were systematically reviewed. And we looked for what are some of the key characteristics amongst the different courses that were being offered. We all started dialoguing together and agreed to work on developing this collaborative curriculum. So some of the information that we gathered from this review. All the courses are being taught at a graduate level in, as I said, schools of public health, and two are cross-listed in schools of planning, the ones at UCB and University of Washington. Keisha and my courses are taught as or sponsored through departments of health policy and management. Two of the courses were taught jointly and listed in more than two or more departments. And our courses varied in length from as short as 8 weeks or as long as 15 weeks. It's dependent upon how the university defined a semester. We were enrolling students from that had public health as their major, had planning as their major, had health policy or public policy as their majors. Each of the courses did involve a series of lectures, and those were focused on those six steps of the HIA process that you've already have been addressed. And we did use, across the courses, a variety of different developmental materials that have been produced. The Human Impact Partners in particular has a lot of tools on how do you do a screening step, how do you do a scoping step, you know, what are steps and process and resources, and they also have completed HIAs that you can use on their website and also on the Health Impact Project site. All the courses also included a case study as one of the activities that the students would do, and all of them included an experiential or a practicum experience. And so students were involved. How much they did depended, again, upon their length of their course. In the 8 weeks course, they did produce some type of an oral report that they shared with their community partner. In the longer courses, they both did an oral report to the stakeholders and community organizations, as well as a written report. We also had to select the topic or focus of the HIA in advance of the start of the course. As you can imagine, to try to quickly get guest speakers arranged and, you know, make all those details come together, that step, on average, it had to be done 2 or 3 months ahead of the start of the course. So what I do in my own course is I kind of replicate that screening step with them. I bring the community partners back in, and we kind of go through that. So they have an, you know, they experience it, but it's kind of a duplication. And many did have advisory boards that helped come up with the topics or identify the projects that would be done. In that experiential learning time, as I mentioned, we selected them ahead of time. Some of the things that were taken into consideration at that time is, do you have a community partner or stakeholder group that's interested in working with students? That's really important. We wanted to make sure that the focus was really kind of outside of the health sector, just as a way to kind of further expand interest and knowledge about HIAs. We did want the projects to be close enough that the students could physically go there and be involved with the community. I know I've done some projects that are an hour or more away from Indianapolis, and it really decreases the number of students that can be involved, just all the logistics of the transportation. And again, as you've heard several times, the project had to be timely. You know, it was going to still be able to give information that would be assisting in identifying a background for a policy or a project or a plan that the stakeholders were interested in knowing more about. Having that strong community connection was very important in helping to identify the topics. And here's a few examples. Edmund did one from Oak Street to 9th Street, the redevelopment that Dawn touched base on. My students were involved in a proposed Marion County Transportation Expansion Project and a Safe Routes to School project. King Street Multimode Hub for Seattle Department of Transportation was one of Andy's course projects. And Keisha's had a variety of projects with the Baltimore City Health Department. So as we looked at sort of the model curriculum, we do start with an overview of social determinants of HIA and environmental impact assessments. We go through the steps, again, screening, scoping. At the assessment step, where we help gather baseline health information on the community, we do the pathways and look at the future impact. Methods can be quite varied: review of the literature, focus groups, key informant interviews. We've done written surveys. Again, it depends upon a variety of things, but we have used a variety of different ways of getting information. We do look at stakeholder engagement and the importance of that. Emphasize again how helpful, or I think probably the most useful step for the community agencies is the recommendations, and then helping with the prioritization of those recommendations. We usually plan and think about the monitoring and evaluation. We do our own evaluation of the process that we went through with the stakeholders, but sometimes we don't have a time to be as complete as, for instance, Keisha's example of their study, again, because we're trying to do this all in 8 to 15 weeks. Then we look at sort of what goes forward with the institutionalization of HIA, and then we have a time for the final presentations. So just a little bit more about the assignments. They write a brief paper about a published HIA, and that's one thing that's been really nice as the field's been growing. We've had lots and more cases available for students to critique. Some of the first ones were not as thorough as some of the ones that have been done more recently. But it includes a summary of the proposed project or policy that was reviewed, the methods that were used in doing the HIA, the major findings, what came out of the HIA as recommendations for the stakeholders. And then we look at sort of strengths and weaknesses of the project, and then the impact on subsequent decisions. So those are all the things the students identify in the particular case that they review. And then in conducting an actual HIA, again, it depends upon what currently is available and useful. It could be focused on a proposed policy, or a project or a plan. They do that oral presentation and or the written report. So we have found that literally the recommendation of more HIA courses is supported by this growing field. We feel that the university courses do offer a more in-depth. There are some online training. There are some like 1 or 2 day trainings that different institutes and organizations provide. But having that time to actually go through a process, we found it is very helpful. It does encourage more multidisciplinary or interprofessional collaboration. I always try to reach out to other schools on my campus. Unfortunately, I don't have a planning school, although I try to reach out to the planning school at one of our other state universities. For those of you in public health, you know that students all have to have some type of an internship or practicum experience. And this would be an opportunity to kind of capture some of those hours and help move, you know, count those towards that expectation for your students. Some of the challenges do include, you know, we do just have 8 to 15 weeks, so it's a lot to complete. I did have one of our HIAs that my course started in the fall, and then we got a grant that started November 1st. Which allowed us to then continue. We had to have the final report by the end of May. So I was able to hire some of the students as sort of research assistants, and so we expanded out. That's the one in particular where we did community neighborhood surveys that we developed with the group, and then the students went out and helped gather that information. The selection of the project can also be a challenge, again, to the timeliness that it'll be completed to be useful, just getting all the logistics together for getting people in to talk about it and do the screening step and scoping steps and other things. Sometimes it's difficult to add a new course in curriculums when you've already got, you know, so many required things that you're trying to have students do. In my own program, it's an elective but strongly recommended for, in particular, the health policy students. I'm kind of moving it into another possibility. We have a capstone at the end for students, so I'm kind of looking at maybe that's another way that I could at least get the topic out and maybe do another HIA. And then again, that evaluation monitoring, sometimes it's just not completed within the time frame that your course is ending. So we're trying to go back and update that information from our courses. We do have our projects that we've completed on our Center for Health Policy website, so they're available, and we're starting to add some addendums as we go back and get that information. So in conclusion, we feel like HIAs offer a critical analysis and potential impacts of policies, projects, and programs on the health of the community. We think that should be HIA courses provide skills to assist the community in planning and doing public health surveillance. And we feel that these curriculums help combine both the didactic as well as that experiential learner that's really important for students to make those connections. And then after we got this in, we've actually been able to get the expanded version of this talk published And so it's now become available on the International Association of Impact Assessments website. So we have a few minutes. Are there questions from the audience that you would like us to address? I saw Joanne first. Mine has been a mixture, actually. The first course, I had an emergency room physician who was getting an MPH, and she actually was a faculty member on the School of Medicine as well, so she'd been out in working for, I think about 18 years, and I have students that are, second semester in their MPH and came right out of an undergraduate program, so, I have quite a range of students that have taken it. And primarily I've had MPH students or MHA students that have taken my class. I had a couple that were just doing our certificate,